I'm joined on Radio Jackie by Vicky and Don McCarthy Andrews. So your child Rio has been diagnosed with a life-threatening type of cancer. Do you want to start off by telling us about Rio and the diagnosis?
Yeah, so he was diagnosed in August the 25th with high-risk neuroblastoma stage 4, or stage M as they also call it. We started to notice a difference in Rio just after his second birthday back in April. So his sleeping pattern started to change, night sweats, food started to decrease dramatically. These were all concerns we brought to the doctor numerous times. They were telling us he was anemic. They put him on iron supplements and he just started to get worse and worse.
And he was walking with a limp.
They told us this was all due to some other infection. So he was tested for his kidney function, different urine tests and constant blood tests. We were ended up going to our local hospital. We were in there for 12 days, end of July. He'd had a sort of a blocked kidney and that he was going to need stents in some of his tubes to clear it. And then
He had seven ultrasounds done
and nothing was picked up. Eventually, one night at 1 a.m, they woke Vicky and Rio up and said, "You're being transferred to St. George's immediately." Got to St. George's and booked us in for another ultrasound. And within about 2-3 minutes, the radiographer was able to pick up that he had seen a mass growth in around the kidney.
Of 12 by 7 centimetres.
Yeah, so this is picked up. And, you know, credit to the radiographer, he cleared his entire schedule. Didn't tell us that it was cancer, but he said enough for us to start getting worried. He cleared his entire schedule, cleared all his other appointments for the day, and walked us straight up to one of the wards
for a CT scan.
And that's when the journey started.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So it sounds like from when you first took Rio to the doctors, it took quite a long time to actually get a diagnosis.
Yeah, and Rio had every symptom. So Rio used to eat like adult-sized portions. He lived for food to the point my husband would cook and we'd have to have a snack ready because he couldn't wait for his food. So when he started not eating, we knew something was wrong and they kept saying it's just a typical toddler. And then he kept spiking temperatures every 5 days. We had a diary and that went on for about 10 weeks. He'd have a temperature of over 40 for 5 days, 3 days off, but with no symptoms, and then respike temperatures. So he had a lot of indications because with neuroblastoma, the lymph is obviously where the tumour was pushing on the pelvis and on the bones. The spike in temperatures is from the hormone that releases from the neuroblastoma. His nails started peeling off where he was so malnourished and because he wasn't eating. He was anemic because obviously he had cancer in his bone marrow. So that was why he was anemic. He had every symptom. But when they did the ultrasounds and they said he had a blocked kidney and they were going to transfer him to Evelina on the 29th of September, which thankfully we didn't make it there. We went to George's and this amazing man picked up Rio's large mass. But yeah, it was a long time for a diagnosis and sadly, by the time we got diagnosed, he was already stage 4 and it had already spread around his skeleton frame and his bone marrow and his tumour was 12 by 7 centimetres.
And why do you think it took so long for doctors to diagnose it? You know, do they go through everything else first before they even consider that it could be cancer?
In my opinion, instead of starting at worst case scenario, they start at the best. And I think this is why it takes so long to be diagnosed.
And we were just very unlucky. It's actually been, we got contacted in December. All the 7 ultrasounds that Rio had done, his tumour was actually present on all of the images. But because they were concentrating on a blocked kidney, they didn't pick up his tumour.
And how does that make you guys feel, that they've basically missed it?
That they let down Rio and that he was in pain for months when he never needed to be, because obviously having cancer all through your body would have been really painful. The fact that he had to be late diagnosed and he has a big fight on his hands and now we have to fundraise to get him life-saving treatment in America, because obviously with neuroblastoma, which was stage 4, it all depends on how your children respond to treatment, to what their prognosis is. So we feel obviously let down, but equally for me, I have to focus on Rio's recovery and Rio beating it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been named as a high-risk cancer. What does this mean?
So for neuroblastoma, because it's high risk, the prognosis at diagnosis is only 40 to 50% chance of survival, but there's also a 60% chance of relapse because the cancer is so aggressive. So it's the only pediatric cancer where they have to chuck everything at it. So he had to have induction chemotherapy of 70 days where he'd be on chemo for 2 to 3 days and then have a 10-day break and then his cycle for 70 days. And then he went in to have his stem cells harvest. So then he had a major 9-hour surgery where they took as much of the tumour out of his adrenal gland, his abdomen, which luckily they took 95% of the tumour, all they could physically see. But he unfortunately got a blocked bowel because of the surgery. So 7 days later, he had to be reopened up again and sort the blockage out. And then he had a 3-week break and then he went into high dose stem cell transplant, which we did 9 weeks, which unfortunately he then another side effect of the toxins, he got VOD, which is poisoning of the liver.
So it's quite intense treatment then, isn't it? You're trying to raise awareness. What were his initial symptoms and what would you say that parents should look out for? Obviously, you said he stopped eating, he had a high temperature, but what were the very first things and what would you say to parents to look out for?
First of all, I would definitely say always trust your motherly instinct. And if you don't feel that they're acknowledging it, push and push and push for second opinions, because obviously mistakes can happen. His symptoms were temperature for no cause, like no cold, no signs of being ill, but his reoccurrence of temperature. He would walk with a limp, he loss of appetite, his nails started peeling off, he was lethargic, he was pasty, he lost so much weight, he was constantly sleepy. There was loads of symptoms. With neuroblastoma, they're the most common symptoms of neuroblastoma.
And I've read that there's special testing that can be done earlier, is that correct?
Yeah, so this is where I would like to be pushed in for A&E. So, you know, if children present with these symptoms, you can do a urine catecholamines test, which for neuroblastoma, you release a lot of high hormones of that VMA. So if you do that test and it's high, there's a high indication that you've got neuroblastoma tumour in your body.
So it sounds like quite a simple test.
Yeah, so Rio has to have them now every 12 weeks. And hopefully once he goes through treatment, he will have them for continuous for over 3 months for 5 years, because they would be a sign of relapse. So yeah, they're quite a simple test. It's just not all hospitals do these urine tests, so they had to be sent off to other hospitals, which could take a 2-week period to get the results.
And the simplicity of it is, I mean, obviously they normally like to do a clear catch of urine in a bottle, but it can be done with just a gauze left in the nappy.
So it's very simple and easy test.
Now Rio's got an older sister, hasn't he, Lily Rose, who's 9 years old. How has this diagnosis affected her and the rest of your family?
For Lily Rose, it's affected, I'd say, her the most, because her life got changed upside down the day Rio got diagnosed, because Rio was going to be very vulnerable with being neutropenic when he was on treatment, and Lily Rose was still, I wanted her to still have a life and go to school, mix and socialise with her friends. She had to move in with my sister when he was going through treatment, because obviously if he caught a cold and he's immunosuppressed, it would be really bad for Rio. So her life got changed massively upside down. She moved in with my sister, but luckily we're a close family and we all live along the same road. She started getting a twitch in her neck from the stress 2 days after Rio's diagnosis. So we had to get Lily Rose counselling and support for that. She still twitches her neck. They just said it's a stress syndrome. And hopefully once Rio's beat this disease, her twitch will suppress.
It's essentially, they still class it as PTSD.
Yeah, because when we told Lily Rose originally, when we was in hospital with Rio, we told her the same. Don't worry, it's a blocked kidney. We're going to get, it'll be a simple operation. And then obviously then we had to break the news. It wasn't a blocked kidney. He actually had stage 4 cancer. And, you know, she felt like we had lied to her, even though we hadn't. We had only told her the information that we had been given at the time.
Yeah, and that's quite a lot of information to take in for a 9-year-old, isn't it? And how has it affected you guys?
For us, it's more the trust. It's very hard going through a journey when you've been let down so early on in the beginning, to have the faith and trust. We just try and support each other and we gain confidence with researching. We like to feel like we're involved in Rio's care.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys are trying to fundraise, obviously, for this life-saving treatment. And it can't be got on the NHS. Why can't you get it on the NHS?
Because paediatric cancer only gets funded 2.6%. And because only 1,600 children a year, unfortunately, get cancer, they don't fund new treatment because profit's not in it.
And how much is this treatment going to cost, you know?
We have to fundraise $300,000, and that will cover all of Rio's treatments in America.
So how come you have to go to America for it? Do they not do it in this country?
Nope.
So MSK, the hospital we're looking at, is the only hospital in the world that provides the specific type of vaccine that Rio needs.
For neuroblastoma.
They have five, but the one suited best to Rio is a vaccine called Biovin vaccine. They've treated 250 children now all over the last couple of years with this vaccine. They're trying to push it out across the world, but obviously cost and everything else, and like Vic just said, the funding just isn't there. Some of the huge problems is everyone knows what a pink ribbon stands for. You tell people what's a gold ribbon, and very few people understand that that's the
representation for
childhood cancers. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, it's a numbers game for the government. 1,800 children as opposed to the millions of adults that can be diagnosed with cancer. Over the last number of years, I think there's only been 7 new treatments for all childhood cancers in the UK, but there's been 77 for adults.
In the last three years.
So the target is 300,000. How much have you raised so far, and what are you doing to raise the money?
So we're just on just over 80,000 in our UK funded raised. And then luckily, obviously, moving from Ireland, we were able to raise another 100,000 in Ireland. So we're
sitting at about 170,000 with the exchange rate.
Yeah.
And we've got 6 months left to raise the remaining. We're doing it for an amazing charity called Solving Kids Cancer. They hold the whole funds, and they liaise with America once we've got the money. They organise our flights, our visas. They consult with a consultant in MSK for Rio's care, and they hold the funds. And once you have the funds and you have a 28-day deadline after end of scans in England to be able to start the vaccine programme.
And once you get to America, do you know how long you guys are going to be there for?
The first trip is 5 weeks, and then Rio will have bone marrow aspirations to make sure, because he has to be clear of disease before he can start the Biovent vaccine. And then we'll be there for 5 weeks, and he'll have the Biovent vaccine, he'll have the bone marrow aspirations. And then we will come back to the UK. And then a month later, we have to go. The trips are smaller. They're only for 5 days. He goes there, has his scans, make sure he's still clear of disease and has another Biovent vaccine.
And what would you say to people to get them to donate as much or even as little as possible?
My biggest thing is, it's never you until it is you. I never would have thought ever that any of my children or anyone that I know would get childhood cancer. And I strongly don't believe it's as rare as what the statistics make out it is. And after living on this journey and seeing how many children are affected by cancer, the biggest challenge I find is when you get told your child has cancer, there's nothing in the world that could hurt you more. And then realising that the funding is so little towards these children's treatment, and that you have to fundraise on top of it to give them the life that they deserve, is incredibly stressful. And I was never aware that childhood cancer had so much little funding and research. In today's world, they're the next generation. Parents shouldn't have to, while they're going through a massive ordeal with their child having cancer, then have to fundraise to give them the potential of life-saving treatment.
And what has the support been like for you guys? Are there any charities that you've managed to reach out to and get support from?
Solving Kids Cancer is an incredible charity, and that's who we work alongside for Rio's Treatment for America. But there's amazing loads of independent charities that are incredible, that just are not acknowledged enough, and they are incredible charities. And sadly, most of them are families that have been through this journey and are very aware of the little support financially, mentally, that you get when your child is diagnosed with cancer.
And I guess the important question is where can people donate?
So Rio's own page, if you go on to solvingkidscancer /Rio, you'll find all his stories there. We try and upload photos every so often of him, his sister, trying to have this so-called normal life as best you can.
His Instagram story.
You'll also find his Instagram story on Rio versus Neuroblastoma, and that's also linked to sort of our accounts on Facebook and Instagram as well.
And Rio's link of his campaign page is in the bio on his Instagram page, Rio versus Neuroblastoma.
And I just wanted to say, to try and put it into context, because people will sort of see him and they'll see he's going through this treatment. The survival risk of neuroblastoma stage 4 up to 5 years is at 51%. And for me to put that into context, there was 4 families when we had our last 9-week stint in the hospital. And every day you walk past them, you can't help but think that there's a high chance that 2 of these 4 children will not make it past 5 years old. The chance of survival if you relapse within those 5 years
5%.
Is 5% survival rate. This vaccine is designed to potentially put it up to 95%.
Wow, scary statistic those, aren't they? The final question I would like to ask you is, obviously, Rio's got neuroblastoma, but that doesn't define him as a person. Can you tell us a bit more about Rio as a person?
He's incredible. The level of resilience that he has is probably the only reason why we can be remotely positive about it.
He's so strong.
He's incredibly strong. His ability, I mean, this was one of the big problems when before his diagnosis was he didn't show clinically, he didn't seem massively unwell because of his energy levels, because of when he is up and he is moving about. He's not crying all the time. I mean, we've got videos of him when he's hooked up to all his chemotherapy and he's on his machines and he's still trying to run around. He's still trying to play.
And then an hour later, he's vomiting up blood from the mucositis. And then he just wipes his mouth and says, all done, and goes back playing. Like, these kids are true heroes. They go through so much, but yet with a smile on their face.
And it's, you know, and to be fair to me, it's not just weird. The children, when you walk around and you see all these children, a lot of the treatment that the children go through due to this lack of funding is things that adults would have gone through 30 years ago. But again, it's just a brutal part of his journey. And we really do hope, as well as getting him to America, you know, we will spend the rest of our lives fighting for other children with childhood cancers, because the fact that it comes down to money is just, it's just unacceptable.